This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canary. Later this hour, we're going to revisit a conversation we had a couple of months ago about a five-day cannabis education certificate program being offered at Florida Gulf Coast University. It's being offered again next month, starting August 7th. But first, the State University System of Florida Board of Governors has selected the University of Florida to lead a statewide consortium studying the health outcomes related to medical marijuana. UF will lead the Consortium for Medical Marijuana Clinical Outcomes Research, which will be composed of public and private universities engaged in research on clinical outcomes of medical marijuana. As the lead institution, UF will receive $1.5 million in annual funding from the state of Florida to support the research mission. It will be evaluating the safety and effectiveness of medical marijuana, consider dosing and routes of administration, including studying the effects of smoking medical marijuana versus other methods of consumption. Joining me now is Dr. Robert Cook, who UF has proposed appointing to direct the Clinical Research Corps. Dr. Cook is a professor of epidemiology and internal medicine in the UF College of Public Health and Health Professions and the UF College of Medicine. He joins us by phone from his office in Gainesville. Dr. Cook, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
We appreciate your time, and we do invite you to join our conversation with questions or comments. The number to call is 877-428-8255. That is 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Dr. Cook, for starters, just tell us a bit about your background. I understand your research has, in a lot of ways, focused on strategies to improve health outcomes related to HIV and sexually transmitted diseases.
Well, I am a primary care physician overall, and been primary care doctor for over 25 years now, and I have been interested in sort of problems that have both medical aspects and social aspects. And so sexually transmitted diseases and HIV infection are something that we can treat medically, but that have a lot of social and cultural aspects to them. And then I started off studying alcohol. Alcohol is tricky because a lot of people do drink and have relatively few health problems, but certainly some people drink too much. And so it's been a challenge for me to try to tease apart what's too much drinking versus what kind of drinking might be healthy. And then with marijuana, what we found in people with HIV, that a lot of people were using marijuana, and many people said it was helping them with serious symptoms like pain or sleep. But on the other hand, many people are concerned that marijuana would not be a healthy thing for people to do. And there's certainly a lot of hype right now around it, and so I'm very interested in trying to tease apart, is marijuana or certain types of marijuana helpful to people in some ways, and is it also harmful to people in some ways? And as a primary care doctor, you know, how do I help individual people make decisions about, you know, whether this is something that might be good for them or not?
How much information do primary care doctors around the country currently have that they can rely on with some sort of scientific certainty about medical marijuana?
Hardly anything. Hardly anything at all. Primary care doctors really are most familiar with marijuana as, you know, a substance or a drug like cocaine or smoking cigarettes or even vaping, that we're just going to say that's probably not healthy, you shouldn't do that. Now that it's coming out more and more, I mean, we are aware there are some studies that show that for certain people it may help with pain, and certainly for people that are with HIV, for example, when they used to be dying of AIDS and had no appetite, marijuana or synthetic analogs of marijuana could be used to stimulate appetite. But other than that, really, it's only been the last couple of years that there's been a lot of, more people wanting to use it for, you know, things like pain or other types of stress or sleep types of things.
Is research ramping up as quickly as use is ramping up?
No, it's not. There's many barriers to the research. I mean, we often can ask people if they use marijuana or not, and so we can do research among people who currently use marijuana. But it's a challenge because often those people that do use marijuana or use marijuana daily, they're just different than people who don't. So it's really hard to know whether it's actually helping that person or not. In general, you know, people maybe who do have more pain or more stress might use more marijuana. And if you just did a research study and compared marijuana users to non-users, it might look like, wow, they have more pain and more stress, so this is a bad thing. But what we don't have is studies of people who might, you know, within a clinical research study, you know, start marijuana versus a placebo and see actually in that case is the marijuana, are they actually better off or not? We have very little studies, and even the clinical research studies we have done have often been in a laboratory setting using a very specific type of marijuana that comes from the National Institutes of Health. They get it from a place that grows it at the University of Mississippi, and we can do a short-term 2 to 3 day study, but it's very different than what people are using, for example, in Florida, where they're going to a medical marijuana provider and getting a recommendation that they can take to a dispensary and get, you know, and start using it daily. We have very little daily data on those types of people and what happens to them.
What makes the marijuana that comes from that place in Mississippi fundamentally different?
Well, I think it's, at least in the past, it has only come as, so-called flower or bud. This is traditional, you know, marijuana that comes from a plant that you would smoke, whereas what you can get in Florida, at least until recently, you couldn't get it,
right,
anything like that. You could only get it if it was put into a pill or a tincture or a cream or some type of vape pen. So we really, that's one difference. Some people criticize the quality of the marijuana that comes from Mississippi, but I think that it's very difficult to study, you know, if you get marijuana from Colorado versus Washington State versus Florida. You know, is it the same exact thing? That really frustrates a lot of traditional researchers who are used to having a drug company produce a very specific product that's, you know, consistent across every person, and so you can really see if that specific product works. So even if the product in Mississippi worked or didn't work, it can be hard to translate that to what people are getting when they go to the dispensary in Florida.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense in terms of doing research, because there is such a broad spectrum of, you know, different flavors and kinds and varieties and all whatever the right words are. So tell us about this new Medical Marijuana Research Consortium. How did it come about?
Well, I think the history, it started 3 to 4 years ago. I mean, when the state government first allowed medical marijuana, they did want a way to track its safety and outcomes. So, for example, if a kid had a seizure after using some marijuana and you were worried it was a side effect, would there be any way to sort of, you know, monitor and say, are other kids having seizures, you know, because there could be a bad product or this could be harmful. Right now, there wasn't any kind of common database where you could really track the outcomes of everybody. So if there was something that was relatively rare, but that happened, we'd be able to track it. So the process to kind of create that started 3 to 4 years ago, and my colleague, Dr. Winterstein, who's going to be the proposed director, she was really interested in sort of tracking drug safety and tracking, monitoring things that are relatively rare, but across a large population. So, and then a couple years ago, there was some medical marijuana research funding provided by the state that was awarded to the Moffitt Cancer Institute, and Moffitt started a program that seemed to be going very well. I honestly don't know the politics of why exactly they decided to move it out, but they decided to move it into a university system. And then this year, the state legislature said that certain universities could submit a proposal to see which one would be named the lead of the consortium. But certainly the intent of the consortium is to work for the state of Florida, to work for Floridians, and to bring together researchers, but also others who are interested in research from any university in Florida that wants to participate in this consortium.
What role will you be playing? And just flesh out real quick, you and Dr. Winterstein, is that how you say it? Your guys are still proposed. There needs to be some sort of vote or something like that, or approval?
That's tricky with politics, but yes.
Yeah.
This board is supposed to have one member from each university that wants to participate, and then that board would approve the budget, would approve the directors, and so that board doesn't exist yet. So
understood.
We are hoping when we create the board that they will approve us, at least to let us get started, because the state has recommended us, but that's why we're still currently proposed. We are not official, and we're hoping to set up that board meeting by the end of July.
And so what exactly is meant by directing the clinical research core for us non-researchers? Because that'll be your role.
Well, again, I'll have two roles. I'll have a role as a researcher, because I am interested in doing research myself. But the core is what I would call infrastructure. It basically is going to be to facilitate others who want to do research, and to also try to identify what the priorities for research should be. And so, for example, if there was a researcher at Florida Gulf Coast University that wanted to study whether marijuana is helpful in people with a certain skin condition like psoriasis, and they want to test whether even CBD cream, which I would consider a type of medical marijuana, is more effective than, you know, CBD that came from a marijuana plant itself, it's very challenging to do that research. First of all, you got to find some patients that would be willing to participate in that study. That might involve recruiting from medical marijuana doctors' offices. And so part of my job is going to be to try to identify a network of providers that are willing to allow researchers to recruit with their patients, or possibly to allow patients who go to these practices to agree to participate in a study, that they could be contacted if they have psoriasis, for example. And it may be that we need to help get the dispensaries together so that there's a mechanism by which we could say, can I get a product that's a placebo CBD cream and a real CBD cream so we can actually do this research. So right now, my vision would be that we would have sort of some type of collaborative network that involves providers and possibly people in the industry and other researchers even that might be interested in, you know, certain medical conditions that could be consultants to sort of facilitate the research. And then they could also link, Dr. Winterstein is going to get a database that gets some of the data that the state is already collecting, but that they collect separate information from providers and from the dispensaries and from, you know, even none of that's even linked to the patient's original medical records. And so she's going to try to create a database that merges all this together. And so if a person participates in a research study, we can kind of also link that participant to some of this other data. And that also is a way to sort of facilitate answering some of these questions.
Sounds like you guys got a lot of strings to tie together. the federal illegality of it, how does that complicate this, if at all?
Well, it certainly complicates it. I mean, I can tell you that if I get federal grant money, which when we work in universities, a lot of us do try to get money from the National Institutes of Health, I can't use any of that federal money to purchase any of these marijuana products. And I can't really ask people to bring those marijuana products. I can't transport them to another lab to confirm it's what they say it is. And there's also, say, a lot of people using marijuana in the community that they're not getting from a dispensary, but they are getting it from people in the street. And there's no way I can really verify what they're getting in order to compare whether one type of strain of marijuana works better than another for a certain condition. So that's been hard. You know, we always are... I don't feel threatened, like, you know, UF is going to get shut down because we're doing marijuana research. In fact, even I saw some quotes from the director of the National Institute of Drug Abuse recently saying, you know, we just need more research to study, you know, both the health effects and consequences. So I think that, but the fact that it's Schedule I just means it's just illegal to have it, it's illegal to possess it, and unless you have a very special license, as a researcher, can only ask people to go somewhere else and get their marijuana from something else. I can't really have it on the university and do it like I would a normal clinical research study.
If you're just joining the show today, I'm talking with Dr. Robert Cook. He's a professor of epidemiology and internal medicine in the UF College of Public Health and Health Professions and the UF College of Medicine. We're discussing a new medical marijuana research consortium being led by the University of Florida. Dr. Cook will be directing the Clinical Research Corps, among other things. To ask a question or make a comment, give us a call now. The number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. You can leave a comment or ask a question on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or on Twitter at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So this is being funded by the state of Florida. Is this funding, you know, over the horizon that you can tell so far?
What do you mean by that?
Well, it's going to come back next year, too.
It's supposed to. I mean, obviously, the state legislature can change from year to year.
But that's the current trajectory planned, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, people are concerned. I think people are wondering about, I mean, because it's 200,000 Floridians have already signed up to get it. There's almost 5,000 to 10,000 new Floridians signing up per month. I think it is a legitimate public health question. Is this good or bad? Many people are worried. They see parallels with the opioid crisis that happened, that may have started similarly. We're desperate people who often have conditions that don't respond well to traditional medicine, tried pain pills, for example, and so we are worried about it. So I think it's a legitimate investment in public health. But I also think there's certainly a lot of money being made, and I think one of the jobs of government in Florida is to look at business and business growth, and we have not only the marijuana providers, but we have companies that are creating mobile apps. We have companies that are creating things that could potentially facilitate, you know, improving the health outcomes by, you know, monitoring symptoms in more real time. We have labs that are coming up, so I think there's a lot of business interests. What I'm trying to do is stay neutral. There's so much, I do caution the public to be aware that there is so much money in this industry that if anybody tells you, you know, marijuana is good or bad, you have to just, you know, keep an open mind that that person could be making a big profit. As a state employee, you know, I get paid by the state my salary, but I'm not going to make an additional profit if I find marijuana to be good or bad. I don't have any stocks in any companies right now, but right now a lot of people do. So I think the public does need to be aware they're getting this massive information that does often sound like a lot of hype. On the other hand, they might see a doctor, for example, to say it cannot be good. There's no good reason. So I think the public is interested. Our money, about a third of it, is going to be competitive research grants that researchers at other universities can apply for. We're going to have those grants evaluated by out-of-state researchers so that we try to, you know, be neutral. And, you know, some of the money will be used to maintain this database, which I think is a good investment in Florida because we do want to monitor for safety. And this clinical research core, you know, if in 2 to 3 years people look at it and say it's, you know, not being productive, it's not doing any good, then I don't think the state necessarily should continue to fund this. So I think part of my job is to be able to demonstrate that we're using the state payers' money in a way that is collaborative across the state and that actually generates some findings that's helpful. You may be aware, for example, that this year the state legislature was debating whether smokable marijuana should be allowed.
Right.
Previously it wasn't allowed, and the legislature has now passed legislation saying, yes, people in certain circumstances can get smokable marijuana. So the reason I think that the mandate to us is to try to look at this is because, again, there's a lot of people who've made up their mind there's just no possible way that smoking any drug could be helpful for anybody. And then there's other data showing that, well, smoking may give people more rapid relief from whatever they're bothering them and results in fewer emergency room visits compared to ingesting marijuana. So I think those are the types of questions. Another interesting thing they put in the policy was an interest in looking at people in nursing homes. And that's a tricky research area right there. But
right.
If you look at people in nursing homes, a lot of them are on a lot of medicines, like benzodiazepines and mm-hmm. antipsychotics and pain pills that could result in falls and confusion. So is a certain type of medical marijuana better for some of those people? Would it help them to relax and be calm? Would it help even family members who visit someone in a nursing home to feel at ease because it looks like their loved one is, you know, comfortable and happy as opposed to, you know, crying out and some type of pain or some other, you know, miserable experience, which is hard to watch if it's your relative. So I think these are some things we're really interested in looking at.
You mentioned earlier, you know, possibly, you know, working with a dispensary to get CBD cream or something like that. Will you be in any way working with the state's licensed producers, which is sort of at the other end of the dispensary? I took a tour of one of them up near Tampa a couple weeks ago, and it was a pretty high-tech operation with a lot of internal research being done, or at least that's what they were talking about. Is that something that you guys will be connected to at all?
Well, that's something that my vision would be. My vision would be that all of the dispensaries would agree to sort of collaborate and share products and services, you know, and not one say, well, we'll work with you, but only if you don't work with our competitors.
Right.
I think that right now I want my – so this is my – personal interest, which is maybe different than what the board wants, but my personal interest really is to study what the people are actually getting. So yes, I could apply for a license and study marijuana that's grown in Mississippi and do some very formal research studies, but I'm more interested in seeing what happens to people in the real world with these real world products. And so, for example, if a dispensary wanted to work with us and they could produce a placebo cream, there still could be some legal issues we have to solve. But then that would get around the federal regulations because I could, you know, that dispensary could provide the research product. I would want that dispensary to send that product to an independent lab to verify what it is. But I think that would be a way we could move pretty quickly into clinical trials, and it would only happen if the industry participates. I think the industry is going to have those dispensaries are going to have to trust us, because if they think we're out to prove marijuana is dangerous, they're not going to want us to use their products. And the research that I do, I want it to be generalizable. So if I do find that CBD cream from X dispensary worked better than placebo, I want it to be generalizable that you could say, well, that probably means that most every CBD cream that's similar. But right now, again, the buyer has to beware. You can get CBD cream on Amazon. You can get CBD cream from places, but, you know, you don't know what's in it. You don't know for sure. And even though I believe that probably CBD from a hemp plant is probably similar to CBD from a marijuana plant, those are some things we don't know as well. And it may be that this psychoactive ingredient in marijuana, THC, which people might be more familiar with because that's what tends to get people stoned or give sort of the, some people call it undesirable side effects. Other people say that's what they're seeking.
Right.
But maybe just a little bit of that, and this is another unknown, is whether, you know, the marijuana plant, which has 100 different cannabinoids all clustered together, maybe they do have an entourage effect that, if given together, has a much different health effect than if a dispensary in a very fancy lab extracts just the CBD or extracts just the THC, but it's separate from the plant. That's another question we really don't know, is there a difference in a health effect in that entourage that's all together versus can you synthesize it out and just use just the specific component.
Right, right. That's interesting about the CBD derived from industrial hemp or hemp versus cannabis. We've talked about CBD on the show a couple times, and I haven't really heard that fleshed out as what you were just talking about. The way the medical marijuana system is set up in Florida, where the dispensary is, there's a direct line all the way back to the plant. Is that going to, if they play along and you know, work with you, will that make it in some way easier because there is sort of a provenance being shown throughout the entire system that maybe other states don't have?
Well, I think that, again, if I get a certain product from a certain dispensary, ultimately that will still have a percent of THC and a percent of CBD and a ratio. And my hypothesis is that when you really get down to the specific strain of, like, whether it's Purple Haze or OG Kush or Jamaican Gold or Gainesville Green, individual people, just like individual people might like a certain wine style better than another or a certain beer style than another, individual people might prefer a certain strain type. But if I go back to my alcohol analogy, it's still alcohol. You know, that's a common link across the beer and the wine, and whether it's a, you know, an IPA or a porter or a Merlot or a Chardonnay, alcohol is the health product. So with the marijuana, while there are all these different strains and varieties that might taste different or have, even at the individual level, you know, some gives, if I drink Merlot wine, it might give me a headache. So certain strains might work better for certain people. Ultimately, I'm going to try to synthesize it down to say, is what's the THC, what's the CBD, what's the ratio? And eventually we might start looking at some of the other specific cannabinoids, but hopefully we can find research that really could be generalizable out of the state. I mean, even if you look at a strain and someone says, I have Gainesville Green marijuana, and someone else in Washington State says, I have Gainesville Green marijuana, I mean, I can't guarantee it's the same plant. Even buds that are grown on the same plant that are more exposed to light compared to those that are at the bottom of the plant might be different. And so it's going to be really tough the way we have it now to have a perfect dosing where everything is the same. But my goal is to look for that kind of measure of, like I say, THC or CBD that could be generalizable across different states, across different, different dispensaries, so that we can look at sort of a more general health effect of marijuana versus focusing on a specific brand or a specific strain.
Well, it's interesting that there's a whole world of research that's awaiting for this, and yet it's already pervasive in many ways. It's 33 states, I think, that it's medically legal, and 10 that it's, you know, recreationally legal. So it must be kind of an exciting time for people doing this kind of research.
I honestly very excited about it because there is so much unknown. And in many ways, if Florida goes recreational, it will be much harder to study this because right now, with the way the doctors are set up, I think we have a much better opportunity to do the medical research because people are coming in with specific medical conditions and specific reasons they're going on marijuana. We can track the specific products they're getting, whereas if I was in Colorado, you know, again, people could get it either medically or recreationally, and it would just be a much more haphazard system. So right now in Florida, I think we have a great opportunity to do the research because we have a high number of people using it, and we have a state government that at the moment is supporting the research and encouraging the research, and by funding our consortium, I think is basically saying, you know, we want to support the opportunity to do research, and so I think we are in a very exciting time.
Well, we are basically out of time. I want to thank you, but real quick, Jamie Thompson wants to know from Facebook, if a nursing home was interested in participating, who do we contact?
People are always welcome to contact me at ufcookrl at ufl.edu.
Okay.
Right now, the state only says that a certified teaching nursing home is the only place that can actually do research on that property. So I think it's going to be a challenge to think about how, again, people can go to the dispensary and get products, but people in nursing homes can't go out and get it.
Gotcha.
Someone would have to bring it in, and that's going to be trickier. So right now, unless it's a teaching nursing home certified by the state, there's not a clear, easy way to do it.
All right, Dr. Cook, I have to cut you off because we are out of time, but I do appreciate your time. We'll have to have you back and talk about this as you further develop what's happening. Dr. Robert Cook is professor of epidemiology and internal medicine in the University of Florida's College of Public Health and Health Professions and the UF College of Medicine. Dr. Cook, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me. Good day.
I am Mike Canary. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.